Please, let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the gospel of our dear Saviour, the message that brings us salvation that has been revealed and proclaimed throughout the world and in every place draw people to Thee according to Thy will. We praise Thee that we also have opportunity to listen to this message. Look upon each one of us and help us to see our own state and standing before Thee. O Lord, that these eternal issues will be so important to us and that we would seek to understand and follow after Thee. O Lord, draw our hearers to Thee who do not know Thee, to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, O Lord, by the power of Thy Spirit, to bless us as we listen. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for His sake. Amen. Friends, I'm turning this morning to the book of Revelation in chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, this is a very strong letter that the Lord Jesus Christ made his servant John write unto the church in Laodicea. It's a church close to Colossae. And the Lord was displeased with this church because it has fallen into a very bad shape. It is actually ceasing to be a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all the, in chapters 2 and 3, you have seven churches in all that have been sent or spoken to by the Lord through the letter from John at the time. And this particular church or this particular letter, I beg your pardon, in each of the letters, the Lord introduced himself, and he introduced himself in a way that was fitting to the situation or the circumstances of the church. And so the Lord now introduces himself to this church with these words, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the very one who is the author of the very creation of God. And so these things said the Amen, the Lord Jesus Christ calling himself by this name. And that's what we want to think of this morning, the great Amen, the great Amen as a title of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so rich with encouragement. So even though the church was receiving a very stern letter warning them that unless they repented, the Lord would have to deal hardly with them, yet there was hope, because the Lord also had said that he stood at the door and knocked, and that if they listened to him, he would restore them and have fellowship with them. And so it is not all negative affair. The Lord still shows the church a way out. And it is quite encouraging that the Lord called himself Amen, because it adds to the encouragement which the Lord gives them in this letter. And so we want to really explore this meaning as the Lord calls himself by, so that we draw encouragement for those who are not the Lord's, who have not come to him and known the forgiveness of sins and change that he brings to needy sinners. And so unto the church, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. That is our consideration this morning. Now, the word has a Hebrew origin. It is the Hebrews that were using it. That means the people who spoke the Hebrew language, the people of Israel that used it. And it meant true and certain. If they said Amen, they said that something that has been said is true and that it is certain. It is a matter that could not be doubted, a matter that was sure. And it showed that you could rely upon that which has been said. That which had been said was dependable. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls himself Amen. And so he says that I am the one who is trustworthy. I am the one whom you can depend upon. Friends, this is very significant. And especially in our day, in our times, there is a big difficulty as to where certainty lies. When it comes to matters of life, only when it comes to probably matters of business and matters of politics and things like that, people may know where they are certainty lie. But when it comes to the matter of life, the most important thing, how we live, that what is it that should regulate our lives? What is it that should show us what to aim at? And friends, when you put aside the scriptures, if you ignore the authority of the Bible and you ignore the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no certainty anywhere. There was a time when there would be such a great man who would be championing ideas, and people would look to them for a kind of certainty. And their teaching or idea will spread so much that they themselves will be looked upon as the kind of authoritative guide to life. Now, this kind of thing is dying off because there's a whole number of opinions floated everywhere. And so because there's so much opinions are floated everywhere, and which of them should anybody hold on to? And so what is popular nowadays is for people really to think that, well, you choose what you want. So for all the opinions that surround you, you select any that seems suitable to your lifestyle, well, you can pursue that one and then embrace that one and then live it out as you can. And whilst many young persons may not put it this way as I am doing, you see that is how they are living. They don't seem to be regulated by anything. Now, because it started with the idea that young persons, or it was a generation that didn't want authority. We didn't want any rule over us. We didn't want any government, any central, absolute government whom everyone, every eye must look up to. And so we thought we could live ourselves. But friends, this would be such a terrible, terrible thing to happen. Should there be no reference point? Should there be no source of certainty and of certain truth and trustworthy truth? If there should be no authority, where when that authority speaks, we know that this is trustworthy. Life would be very, very difficult, my dear friends, because then we would simply be living anyhow. And then how do we face eternity? How do we face God? How do we face matters that are so, so pressing on our lives? And so, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ's words is very encouraging. I am the Amen. I am the certain one. I am the trustworthy one. Everything I ever said was true, and everything I say is true. Here is certainty. You remember, if you're a person who reads your Bible, there were a number of times when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking in the Bible, will often say, verily, verily, I say unto you. That's exactly the word, Amen, Amen, I say unto you. That you can rest your hopes upon what I'm saying the Lord Jesus Christ meant. And so, here is certainty when the Lord Jesus Christ said that, I am the Amen. Here is the certainty. Here is the dependable truth. Here is the trustworthy truth and statement about life. My dear friends, I want to ask you very early in our discussion this morning, well, do you find an authority over your life? Or do you wish to live as if there were no authority? Friend, if you are a young person, you would think that would be a nice thing to enjoy, to feel that you are not under any authority. My friends, it's a huge disaster, because then how would you know you are right? If we were to ask you, then what are you aiming at? What is the goal of your life? Where are you going? Where would life land you finally? Whom do you ask? There are tough questions in life. Soon you will meet trouble, friend. You may be a young person and life may have been kind to you up to now. And you think it will go on like that. No, it wouldn't. You will face very harsh circumstances and very, very difficult troubles. You would find friends fail and the earthly authorities disappoint. Do you rest your hopes in politicians? They are the most uncertain of all people on earth. Whom do you put your hopes in? The kind of ideas you learn in a school, they may be useful for a trade, for a profession, or things like those. But for real life, which involves your whole being, your present life, your moral aims, and life's meaning, both now and the hereafter. When this life is done, you begin to realize there are big questions to ask about life. And so, friends, it is not a nice thing if you live in a world where there's no authority. Someone who is the reference point, somebody who can set down truth, and that is it, truth and nothing else. Certain, absolute certainty, firm and sure, reliable and unshakable. If there is nothing like that, life will become so, in the midst of the troubles, it becomes even more difficult. You know, when somebody is sick and he goes to the hospital, imagine somebody who has been troubled by an illness. And he has all these symptoms that are very worrying because it renders him very hopeless. When the symptoms occur, this person begins to feel so helpless and so much in pain and anxious, and you have all these unpleasant situations as his portion. Think of such a person. Imagine that you go to hospital time and again, and all manner of tests are done, and they keep saying, we are not sure what is wrong with you. Don't you realize that in spite of his illness, the uncertainty adds to his woes, the uncertainty adds to his fears, and adds to his worries? My friend, the very moment the sickness is diagnosed and they could say, oh, now we realize it. It is this and this and this. Well, hope, a measure of hope dawns. If we have discovered what it is, hopefully we'll be able to begin to think about how to treat it, isn't it? Don't you see, in the midst of the virus we are wrestling with now, one of the things that makes it even more threatening, I'm sure you know, is the fact that we do not even have the cure. My friends, just imagine that a cure is found. Recently, just this week, a cure that it was even working, they were saying that only it will heal the critical cases, only about a third. Even that one is hailed, that one everybody's happy about it, and rightly so. Because you look at the devastation the virus is causing around the world. And so any measure of healing is acceptable. But my dear friends, if we should be left in uncertainty, well, that itself will be killing. That itself will be worrying. If we should live a life, if our life should have no reference point and a certain rule, sure, permanent, unshakable foundation for which we can seek and rest our life's hopes upon it, well, it makes life more hopeless. It makes life more troubling. Friends, this is an encouragement when the Savior said, I am the Amen. I am the trustworthy one. Of course he deserves to be so, because he only is God who took our nature and came down to earth so that he may communicate that truth to us and make it and allow that, let that be written down for us. This is a huge blessing. This is a huge encouragement to the human race that the Savior himself came and has revealed the will of the Father to us and has spoken to us about life's purpose and meaning. Oh, friends, here is a trustworthy foundation. I am. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ says. Now, let's move it further. He's not only certain and trustworthy in everything he said and everything he laid down. He also, when he said that I am Amen, also secures all the promises of God. We are told this very plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Let me read you that, because they're very, very profitable, obviously, all scriptures profitable, a very helpful verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God are yes and amen, certain that they will be fulfilled. And so the same certainty is applied in a little more specific way for us, that it is not just certainty about truths and certainty about life's meaning and purposes that the Savior spoke about, but also certainty about the promise the Almighty God has given unto us. People, human beings who have sinned against him. Oh, friends, do you know the history of the human race? We fell into sin. All of us represented in our father Adam, we fell into sin. And what a wonderful kindness that the very shortly after our first parents had fallen, God pronounced a mighty blessing, a mighty promise. And that promise was to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said that, when he told the woman, the Eve, that her seed will crush the head of Satan, and the Satan, of course, represented there as a serpent, will bruise the woman's seed's heels. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was spoken of there. And so right there, the promise centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The human race, all of us, because of sin, were heading towards destruction, and everyone was blinded, and all of us were in darkness because of sin. And the promise rested in this only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so surely it is right for Scripture to say that in him all the promises of God are amen, are certain, are sure to be fulfilled, because that is what they are. And so it is, friends. And so in him, God guarantees every promise. Now, we're talking about every promise here. But before we ever have a taste of the promises of God, there's a huge one mighty promise that stands, as it were, at the door. We must enter by that promise into, as it were, the house of promises. And this promise at the door is a promise of forgiveness of sins and of reconciliation with God. That though we are rebels who have turned away from God and continue in our rebellion, God himself has sent that Son. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, that promise all the way back when our first parents fell was fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he went to the cross of Calvary to bear away the punishment of sin for needy sinners, so that he will give unto us his own righteousness and bear upon himself the punishment of sin that we deserved. And he did that willingly. And this is the promise that stands, as it were, at the door of the house of promises. It is a promise that anyone who will come, anyone who will repent of sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, will find forgiveness of sins and be made right with God. He will become a child of God, accepted, received, and allowed into the household of God. And in the household are all these promises touching on every department of our lives. And so you see, Christ, it is in him alone that we are allowed into this household of promises, as it were. And then each one of the promises are fulfilled only through him. And so he is the amen. He is the certainty of the promises too. And so this is why we go to the Lord. And when we go to him to ask for mercy, this is where we put all our hopes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other hope or confidence that mixes up will spoil everything. Because you see, The promises, the promise can only be ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every promise is fulfilled only in Him. It is mediated through Him to us. This is why it is so important, if I come to the Savior, to seek mercy and forgiveness of sins. Oh, to throw off all other hopes and all other confidence, because they are a lie. Because all other confidence is only a lie, and they hinder us, and they stand in the way, and will not allow us to see Christ as our only hope and as our only anchor. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is that in Him are all the promises fulfilled for us. And so we go to Him alone. We have a hymn that's at the close of our meeting, that let no other trust intrude, let no other confidence intrude. Friends, we often explain this to people. It's good to understand this. It's good to understand that I am a sinner and I have no righteousness of my own. It is the righteousness of Christ that is given unto me. It is for His sake that God will fulfill that promise, that if I repent of sin, I will be forgiven. It is good to understand it, my dear friends, but understanding it in your head, it's not enough. We must truly know it in ourselves and embrace it right in our hearts, that of a truth, I know for sure I have nothing. That of a truth, I know for sure that I have nothing in me to let me be accepted or be admired by Almighty God. I am only a sinner. I am only a wretched creature before this holy and righteous God. I only deserve to be condemned. Don't learn to say it only. You must sense it. You must realize it and truly embrace that truth, so that the result will be this: you will turn away from all other confidence and every other hope and look upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and you will come to Him. And He will be your all in all. And we have said it in the past in our study last Sunday, if any of you remember, that if I truly came to Him, every other hope would die out. They will lose their grip upon my heart. Every other confidence, self-confidence, confidence in the world, confidence in my head, confidence in the systems of this world will all dwarf before me, because I will then see that I cannot put hope or trust in anything else but in the Lord alone, because He is the Lord. He is the Lord, and He alone is trustworthy. And so He secures all the promises, you see. And the promise, the mighty promise at the door of God's household, the promise of eternal life, of forgiveness of sins, is here, offered to you, dear friends, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and to Him alone. Let me mention another thing. The term Amen also simply means, so you know, we often use it to mean, so be it. Or let it be so. And we often say that as part of a prayer. But that is to stress the fact that there's a finality with this. Let it be so. It stresses the finality of Christ. If it is applied to Christ, and that in Him we say, let it be so, that which the Savior has said, which the Savior has done, has a finality to it. That is everything. You cannot, as it were, find anything better outside Him. There's finality. You cannot hope for any kind of extension, if you like. It is like taking your case to the Supreme Court of our land. Once you take it, then a judgment is given. You may apply for a review. But once that is done, that's finished, there's the finality. So be it. Let it stand like this. Let it forever stand like this. That's what we mean. And this refers to the Lord Jesus Christ in our passage. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that everything, every truth, every meaning of life, every purpose, eternity, and the present have their finality. Everything is certain and firm and final also. Now, the reason why I'm stressing this, my dear friends, is this. You cannot imagine affording to miss the Lord Jesus Christ. The thought is so frightening. He is the final one. He is the final hope of every sinner. The only, should I miss him, where do I go? Should I miss him, who else can offer help with my sin, with my standing before God, with my eternal portion? Who will be my help? There's a finality in this, friends. And then also, my dear friend, whenever Christ is offered to sinners, that finality is in it. You know why? Because once Christ is offered to you, as we are doing this morning, and are calling upon you to turn to him and to believe the promises, because they will be fulfilled for Christ's sake. The Lord Jesus Christ is the guarantee that the promise will be fulfilled. And God in kindness gave him to us to encourage us to see that he that gave him his son for us, for his own sake, his son's sake still, will fulfill every other promise so that we may be willing to come. God, whom we cannot see, has come to us in his son to give us these promises. Now, when we offer to you this promise of forgiveness of sins, there's a finality in it. Finality in the sense that for some of you, this may be the only time you are hearing this gospel. You may never hear it again. Or you may hear it, but will never have the same impact on you again. So be careful. You may have heard the gospel. And it may also have some impact on you. Perhaps you've been anxious about it, and you are really concerned, and you are really asking questions, and you are making inquiries, and you are sometimes even worried about your life of sin, and you have been sometimes thinking about truly, you seem very persuaded that surely you need to come to the Savior. Friend, the problem could be this. You may delay and ignore the matter and turn over your mind to other things in life and forget the case. Then you may never hear the same gospel with the same impact on your heart again. There was some finality in that for you. Oh, dear friends, there's a finality in that for you. And that's all. And also for everyone else, every one of us, the finality is this fact that only Christ could be offered to sinners. No one else, none else. The finality will say in this, and this is encouraging again, the salvation he offers is final. The Savior who is Amen, the salvation he offers to needy sinners is such that it cannot be taken away from us. Once saved, you forever be his. He will keep you by his power and keep you in relationship with himself. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the Amen, in that in me is the finality of matters of life and of eternity. Friends, let me repeat myself. You cannot afford to miss such a Savior. You cannot afford to miss him. There was a time, you remember, some of you may remember, there was a time when there was a miners, I think the country was Peru, where some miners were locked up in the earth, and You remember when, if you know, you remember the news, the government did very well to let them manufacture, construct something that looks like a capsule that could go to the ground. They began to drill a hole and send through it food for those down there. And then they had did this that was like a capsule to so that it goes down there, it opens, and a person gets into it, and they draw him from the ground. They did one by one. And my dear friends, thankfully, what I'm coming to say never happened. But imagine that you missed that capsule. Imagine that for some reason, when the capsule went out, it never was coming to you, left there alone. This is the solemn finality with the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone is without him, where do you go? Where do you go? You know that the term Amen is also given to us as the end of our prayers, isn't it? It's given to us to affirm our prayer also. Friends, I want to just speak a little about this because it's helpful. The reason why God gave that is that because the same term, the same word, reminds us of the glories of the Lord Jesus as the only trustworthy one, as the only final one, as the only one that secures all the promises. Yet the same term, the same word is given to us to affirm our prayers. You know why? To teach us that we never approach God lightly. We cannot come before Almighty God and speak to him in a way which we will after it conclude with a term, Amen. And yet that prayer was trivial. It was as if it was a joke. We never meant it. We never took it seriously. And so you see, it teaches us that if I am a sinner, I'm going to the Lord to cry to him for forgiveness of sins and salvation. Mean your prayers. Mean it. Go sincerely, repent of sin. Never play hide and seek with Almighty God. Do not behave as if I want to hide some lusts. I want to hide some fleshly, worldly ambition. They are the things I really seek. Yet I simply want God to be part of me, that kind of thing. He isn't the one whom chiefly I want. I want something else. But I only want him in addition. Don't do that. This is to dishonor him. Mean your prayers. Go to him as the one you truly desire above all things. You long for above all things, above all others. The one you want to come to and find mercy above all others. Friends. And so we are giving that to close our prayers, to just remind us of that minute, because you are dealing with the Lord. You are dealing with the Lord whenever you come to call upon him to have mercy upon you. And my dear friends, do come. Come to him. Come, because he will fulfill the rich promises. These promises are so wonderful. I will speak a little about that at our radio in the evening, the Lord helping us. But my dear friends, here are the thoughts about Amen, reminding us of the Lord Jesus Christ and what a Savior he is to the world. Come to him, my dear friends. Come sincerely. Ask him to have mercy upon you. Oh, friends, I just cannot imagine that you will let such a Savior pass by without a blessing for you, without a blessing of pardon and reconciliation and a new life and acceptance in the bosom of Almighty God, that you will let him pass by without dealing with you. I cannot imagine that you would do that. So don't do that, friends. Come to him. Use yourself to him. Ask him to wash you and to change you and to bless you. And he will keep that promise. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we adore thee for our dear Savior, that thou hast given to us as our Saviour, and also as a guarantee that thou will keep every word of thine. Father, this isn't necessary because thou art always faithful, and every word of thine will be kept. And yet for our good, thou art willing to give thy Son so that he will be the guarantee for us that every word of thine will be fulfilled. Oh, give us grace to rest our hopes upon thee. Lord, help us to rest our lives upon our trustworthy Saviour, that he rules our lives and directs it in all ways. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for his sake. Amen. Dear friends, let's close by singing together hymn number 355. Hymn number 355. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more.